Yes, this first sermon that Jesus preached was very relevant back then, but I think we're realizing it's actually pretty relevant for us here and now today as well. So today we're just continuing straight on from where we were last week, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. We'll have it up on the screen again. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago. See, Jesus is always referring back to the law, the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, and the law that the people knew. And he was really bringing out the truth, what it was really all about. And do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Isn't that a shame? Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Once again, Jesus is speaking in not only something that's relevant probably for us as well, but he was speaking into a situation of the day. And as a rabbi, Jesus had the right to speak and teach and bring interpretation to the law and to what people were discussing and thinking about. And there was some controversy particularly around the interpretation of the third commandment in Exodus 20, verse 7, where it says, "Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." The scribes and the Pharisees, and that's an important one, isn't it? Not to commit a blasphemy, swearing using the name of God, Jesus or Christ or God. And we shouldn't do that. It's really clear. But the scribes and the Pharisees had decided, well, we can't use the name of God when we're wanting to, you know, make a declaration or an emphasis to what we're saying. But this is what we could do. It's okay to swear by the name of heaven. It's okay to use earth or Jerusalem or by my head as an emphasis to what they were saying, or as an oath or a swearing in that sense. What did Jesus say about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34 that we've just read? He said, you shouldn't swear at all. Do not swear. And he actually quoted Isaiah 66, verse 1 in the first, either by heaven, because that's God's throne, or by the earth, because that's God's footstool, or even by Jerusalem, because that's God's city, or by your head, because that, we're made in the image of God, and we're under the covering of God, and we shouldn't even swear about ourselves or other people and so on. And so then Jesus went on to say, what did he say? If you're not to swear by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem or by your head or anything, any emphasis in that way. He said in verse 37, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. We don't need to add to that. And some of you may be wondering, what about in a court of law? Was Jesus saying that we shouldn't even take an oath in a court of law when he said that? And we don't want to go against Jesus' teaching, do we, in anything that we do? Now, some of us may not know, if we've never been to court, we may not know what the process is and what all that is today. I mean, we see it on TV and we know what happens in America in the court of law, but sometimes... So today we've got a lawyer in our church. Nicola, would you like to come and just briefly explain the sort of oath that people take today in a court of law? Let's welcome our legal lady. Lawyers, Nicola's our niece, and she's a lawyer in Napier, and she's just having a bit of a break for a month or two, and so we're really blessed to have her with us and our family and in the church, and it's cool. Let's learn a little bit about law, and over the next couple of weeks, next few weeks, before she heads back to Napier, she's going to, this is just a warm-up for her. Anyway.
Not sure about that one. Good morning. So there's sort of two different types of oaths that we can take in the court and also outside of the court when it's just the written evidence. So if it's in a courtroom, it's actually really similar to how you see on TV, where a registrar gets people to put their hands on the Bible and basically say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? What I do is the written evidence side of things, where people will come into my office with a piece of evidence that needs to be confirmed. I'll get them to place their right hand on the Bible, and then I will say, do you solemnly and sincerely swear before Almighty God? And then take them through a few questions to do with that piece of evidence. So it certainly involves the element of the Bible, the element of God, and it's quite interesting in a culture today where we're mostly secular, that's still what's predominantly done in the legal system.
Just before you go and sit down, what's the reason for that? Why do you get people to do that?
I think it's mainly sort of steeped in the historical traditions of back in the day when New Zealand or England, where our system came from, where it was a predominantly Christian country. I think they still use that today because it shows the weight and the gravity of what people are doing, that they have to be really serious about this. And even people who don't believe in God do still find that there's an element of seriousness when you bring God into the picture.
Cool. Let's give Nicola a hand. I suppose, really, they're just trying to get people to tell the truth. Is that right, Nicola? That's really what it boils down to. And bringing God in and putting your hand on the Bible, and it couldn't be any more serious than that. Before Almighty God, I promise to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So is it okay to do that, in light of what Jesus said, do not swear at all, and in the terms of an oath? I just want to, personally, I want to say I don't think Jesus was referring to that legal situation about swearing an oath in a court of law. This is my personal opinion, and I've got a couple of reasons around that which we'll quickly go into. What I really think Jesus is saying is that we should simply speak the truth all the time, whether we're in court, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're at school, we should speak the truth. And I think that's what Jesus is really emphasizing here. There's a couple of quick reasons why I don't think God is against the legal system and swearing an oath and promising to speak the truth and putting our hand on the Bible and saying, before Almighty God, I'm going to speak the truth regardless. Because in Luke chapter 1, verse 73, Luke reminds us that God himself swore an oath. He swore on oath to Abraham that he would give him the land and a people, descendants. And there he was, childless, with no homeland. So God himself swore an oath in his own name, right back in Genesis 15. And also, something that I learnt yesterday that I thought was quite interesting that I had never noticed before, was in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63, when Jesus was on trial. We might put that verse up just so you can have a look at it. Remember, they were accusing Jesus of all sorts of things. And all the way through, Jesus remained silent and he refused to answer their accusations. And then the high priest said to Jesus, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And at that point, after being silent all the way through with their question, Jesus actually answers, yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, it's as you say. And it speaks of the fact that Jesus was actually honoring the judicial system in that moment. And he was on oath. He was put under oath to speak when he was on trial. And he spoke. Up until that, he had not responded at all. And so that's just a little thought. I found that interesting, that actually I think we do need to honour the legal system and particularly, I think it's actually quite good that we bring God into it personally and really take it seriously to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Also, the Apostle Paul, several times through his teaching in Romans 1, 2 Corinthians 1 and Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul often spoke in legal terms. And he said that God is my witness. He spoke of having a witness and other people being a witness to what he was doing. And I think there's a sense that actually it's okay to put your hand on the Bible and swear on oath in the court of law if you're required to do that. And I don't think that Jesus was specifically saying in this situation that we weren't. And also, when you think about the people that Jesus was speaking to that day, he wasn't speaking to the lawyers, he wasn't speaking to the scribes and Pharisees particularly, there may have been some of them there. He was speaking to ordinary, everyday men and women, and he just said to them, you guys are the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. And anyone will say, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And let's be honest and upright and speak the truth. I think that's what Jesus was talking about, without needing to add emphasis and oaths and swearing and blasphemy to try and bring some weight and credibility to our words. In actual fact, I think it shows the opposite, that if we have to add emphasis, it's almost like we're needing to prove that we're speaking the truth instead of just actually doing it. It really is important what we say. I think that's what Jesus was alluding to here as well. Proverbs 18 verse 21 tells us the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so it's important what we say. It's important that the way we speak to each other. In James chapter 3, James speaks about this. And he gives comparisons. And he says our tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. If you think about a bit in a horse's mouth, I mean, you can have a great big, huge, strong horse, and you just have a little bit of a bit there, and you can guide it and direct it, and that's what James was talking about. And he also talked about a rudder on a ship. Our tongue is like a rudder on a ship. You can have a huge, great big ship the size of a football field or whatever, but just a little rudder will steer that thing even through a storm, and that's the power of a rudder. And it's the power of our tongue. He also talked about a spark, a tiny spark that can set a whole forest on fire. So that's what our tongue is like. He gave a comparison there that our tongue can be like a bit in a horse's mouth, a rudder on a ship, or a spark that sets a forest on fire. Our tongue can be like that. So we need to think about what we're saying. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be speaking the truth, not lies. Where do lies come from? The devil is the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. And when we lie, we're actually aligning ourselves with the enemy. That's why at the very end of that thing there, at this reading that we had, anyone who goes beyond this comes from the evil one. When we have to emphasize and bring cursing and blasphemy and emphasis by swearing and so on, it's actually coming from the devil, because we're trying to prove that we're telling the truth when we're not. James also says in James chapter 1 verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I think God wants us to be on a direction and being stable, and not whether we're going this way or that way or whatever. God doesn't want us to be indecisive in life. He wants us to be consistent, particularly in what we think and what we say and what we do. Because it begins in our thinking, and then it gets outworked in our speech, and then it ends up in our actions, doesn't it? That's why I think it's so important what James was saying. A small part of us can set the whole direction for our lives. Our tongue can steer us in the direction that we go. So let's think about what we're saying. That's why I think Jesus was saying, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And be consistent. Don't be indecisive. Don't be this way and that and all over the place. Let God's heart get God's heart on the matter. Let God's heart guide you and stick with it. And when I was preparing this, I just was got a sense that this is a word for someone here today. Might be several of us that we just need to settle our spirit. We need to trust God, and we need to go with what He tells us, and just keep going and don't waver from it. When we know what we know, that God has spoken and He's given us direction, He's given us clarity. Sometimes we can come and we can doubt that, and we can talk to this one, and we can talk to the other one, and we can end up going all over the place, being unstable and indecisive. But I believe Jesus was saying, look, come on, guys, you just need to be consistent. You need to hear from God. You need to get the heart of God. You need to keep going with it. You need to get your thinking right, your speaking right, and your action will follow. So might be just a word for us, someone here today, probably all of us, actually. Let's not waver from the direction that God has set us on and the words that He's given us. And we need to remember that, you know, this whole thing of honesty and trustworthiness. I mean, probably most of us here would be honest and truthful, at least most of the time. I mean, who thinks that we're honest and trustworthy? Put your hand up if you do. I mean, I think I am. I think I might tell you a little story about myself. Probably shouldn't, but the other week I was driving Alan's truck and through to take some calves for him. And before I left, I checked. I knew the COF was getting a little bit close to expiring, and I had a little look, and oh no, it's just a few days over. And I thought, oh, I'll be all right. I'll be okay. And so I went off, and I was going through fodder there, and lo and behold, there was a policeman there, and he waved, and I waved, and I sort of kept going, thinking, I'm going to be all right. And then about 5 minutes later, the siren behind me, and along he comes, pulls me over, and he starts checking up, and I thought, oh, here we go. I know the CIF is over, and he was checking this and checking that, and everything was pretty good, and he got to the, and he said, this is expired on the 23rd of January. And in that moment, I was trying to get out of it. I said, oh, are you sure it's not February? I knew jolly well it was January. But after that, I was thinking, Roger, you lied. You knew. And yet I think it's the subtle things, isn't it? That we like to sort of stretch things a little bit. Or have we got a ticket yet, Alan? We haven't. It's going to go to, that's why I was really disappointed and annoyed, because I knew that Alan and all the B guys would know, and because the ticket would go to them because it's their truck, not mine. And it just got worse and worse and worse, and I was thinking, oh no, that's why I was sort of wanting to get out of this. But we haven't got a ticket yet, so thank you, Lord, for that. But it could still come. But in that moment, I disappointed myself. When I realized that actually I knew jolly well that it was a few days over, and I'd tried to, how often do we do that? The only really trustworthy one is God. I mean, we can be pretty honest and trustworthy, but sometimes when it suits, we twist things a little bit, don't we? And Psalm 119, verse 105 says, His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, the word of God is true, it's trustworthy, because our God is true and trustworthy. There's no lies in Him. Lies only come from the devil. And yet, you know, we do live in a day where there's a lot of pressure to compromise. And often, even in business deals, do people always tell the truth? Can you trust people when you're doing a business deal that they're not putting one across you? I mean, it's hard to know sometimes, isn't it? And even sometimes when something's all signed up and you think it's settled, well, people can still wriggle their way out legally somehow in the small print. And I was thinking about this, you know, this integrity and this honesty and this speaking the truth and speaking life and just honouring God in what we do. What's happened to the old handshake deal where you just go up to someone and you shake their hand, the deal is done, and you know it's done. Nowadays, we have everything checked by a lawyer and every little small print checked over, and then they still get out of it. Because we don't live in a day when a man's word is his bond anymore. And I think it would be good if we could get back to that as God's people. I think that's what Jesus' challenge was. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let's be honest. Let's be straight up. Let our word be our bond, even if it costs us sometimes. Isn't it refreshing when someone is honest and straight up with you? Isn't it refreshing? A few weeks ago, we were on holiday. I was sort of negotiating on a bit of a business deal while we were away. And there was this guy that I rang up to find out some information that I needed to know. And I thought, well, I wonder if he's going to tell me the truth or not. And I talked to this guy, and actually it turned out that he was a Christian guy, but he was just really honest. He was straightforward. He told me stuff he didn't need to tell me, stuff that was helpful for me and probably not so helpful for him in the whole situation. And I got off the phone, and I said to Cheryl, man, that's refreshing. That guy spoke with integrity, and it was inspired me to be honest and straightforward and tell the truth in a business deal, even if it might not be always to our financial advantage. That's what I got a sense, hey, that guy's a real Christian. He told me stuff honestly and straightforward. He wasn't trying to cover up or hide things or get a better deal for himself. And it was just such a good, refreshing experience, that phone call. And I've had a couple since with him. It was just actually quite cool. I was thinking about that, you know, even in the sporting arena these days. The drug cheats. You know, Lance Armstrong has made cycling famous for all the wrong reasons. I mean, even in sports at the Olympics and things which used to be, you know, so straightforward, now everyone's got to be tested and then they try and cheat that. You know, we live in a world where it's compromise and cheating and getting the best for ourselves by half-truths. And we live in a PC world as well. Political correctness. You know, it's not just the politicians that tell lies these days. People say what they think they should say rather than what they really think, don't they? You know, how often do we do that in a situation that we're in? I think Jesus is encouraging us to speak the truth. If we're going to be salt and we're going to be light and we're going to make a difference, we're going to bring a blessing, we need to be people that just speak the truth regardless. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 says, speak the truth in love. You know, we don't want to speak the truth and do a lot of damage. We want to speak the truth in love. And sometimes I think people say yes, yes, when they really mean no, no. They say, yes, I'm going to do this, but they don't do it because they never intended to. But the reason they say yes is because they don't want to hurt somebody. They don't want to let somebody down. They're wanting to be pleasing everybody. It can be a price that goes with being honest, that actually we're not always going to please everybody all the time. It's a bit pathetic, really, isn't it, when you think about it, how we live and the things we say and the half-truths that we speak. And in our business life and our family life and even comes into church life. We're too frightened to say what we really believe. And in marriages, at home, if we only start speaking the truth in love instead of trying to keep everybody happy all the time and not speaking the truth. So that's really my word today. And I think that was the challenge that Jesus was bringing when he said, simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. I think we need to make a change. Let's be ones that, like that businessman that inspired me, let's be ones that inspire others, actually to set a different standard, a better standard, live a higher way. Let's do things God's way and just live with integrity, be honest and straightforward. And when we say yes, we mean it, and we do it. And we say no, because we mean it, and we don't do it. And I think life will be a lot simpler and a lot easier. And we'll be salt and light just by living every day honest lives. So that's my word to you guys today. So how about if we stand? Nobody's clapping today. That's what it is. Joy's in the hospital. Never mind. It's all good. Just being honest. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yes. Well said, Brendan. Okay. Anyone would like some prayer today? Anyone like to commit their life to Jesus? If there's a yes in the house, let's follow through and make a commitment to do that. If there's prayer needs, if there's someone apart from Joy, we can pray for her in a minute. If there's areas of your life that you want change and you want to see God's Spirit being released into, just come and get some prayer today.